So, hey, everyone, thank you for tuning in for yet another episode of the Get Out Media podcast. Of course, just like always, I'm your host, James Kincaid, joined by our two host and producer, Billy Newland and Spencer Mankin. On today's episode, guys, we are going to get into fitness and the outdoors. This is going to be the first of a little mini series that we've been working on for the last, I'd say, 4-5 weeks now, trying to get it put together. Already got some good guests on to talk about fitness and, of course, how it directly affects our ability to go out and enjoy nature. You know, you can't be, unfortunately, out of shape and try to hike, you know, Mount Everest. So just going to talk into the nitty gritty for those that really may not know where to start when it comes on your fitness journey, or maybe you already started and you just want to hear some more different ideas and different tricks, trying to mix things up. But for my guys that have done this for a while, this is going to be more of a kind of where we're at in our physical fitness journeys. So y'all may be already, you know, well more advanced into it. So just bear with us for this one. We do got some pretty good guests coming on that's going to talk more in depth about these topics. Because like we've said in all of our episodes, we are not pros by any means. Can't emphasize enough on that aspect.
Yeah, I'm a pro BSer.
There you go.
Touche. There you go.
See, buddy. I am a pro at something.
You're YouTube certified.
Yes, sir.
Which 90% of people are.
I don't have YouTube. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, we. Oh, God. Don't say that out loud.
I was YouTube famous very short while back in like 2005.
What?
Oh, man. Remember the glory days of YouTube?
Yeah.
No commercials. None of this stuff. You just click on whatever you want to watch. You could watch it. Good old times.
Deuce Bill said bean, sir.
Oh, so we're...
Weren't you like five?
We're at Lake Whitney down south of Fort Worth, and we'd taken the boat down there. We were camping and wakeboarding, but it rained like 7 inches overnight, and we didn't want to put the boat in the water because it's a river. It's a dammed up river, and so that's what makes the lake. And so there was all kinds of trees and everything running down into the lake, and so we didn't want to put the boat in the water. So we grabbed a wakeboard and grabbed a rope, tied it off to my buddy's truck, and just wakeboarded in the ditches.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that.
I'm pretty sure it's still on YouTube.
So you should definitely drop a link because I want to see it. I'm pretty sure the people listening probably want to see that too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Find it.
Hey, don't judge them on the quality, people. 1080p didn't even exist back then.
Yeah.
Definitely not 4K.
Yeah, 720 was like, that was stunning picture back then.
Oh, dude. We're going to get off topic here for a second, but even trail cameras back when you had 5-megapixel trail cameras, you're like, that's the best.
Yeah.
And now we're already up to like 32 megapixel.
Yeah.
And even greater now as far as resolution on trail cameras.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Moultrie. But yeah, fitness, everybody. Definitely got to be in some form of shape to walk out there in the woods to put your trail cameras up.
There you go.
Can't be in a shape, you know, because even though a lot of our Texas landowners are very spoiled with their ATVs and side-by-sides to essentially drive the entire property and do their work, for our guys in the other parts of the lower 48, they actually got to go out there and put some boots on the hillsides to get to these certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to get things kicked off, guys, as far as fitness and how it directly affects you and your ability to pursue a lot of your outdoor recreation, is it actually starts with a choice. And that choice is, what are your goals? Like, what are you looking to get out of your fitness journey? The one thing that I know I was a novice at is I try to look too far long term, because unfortunately in today's society, they always talk about having a 5-year plan. Guys, 5-year plans are cool and all, but they do not work with fitness. Fitness goals need to be much shorter in duration. I'm pretty sure Spencer and Billy can agree with me.
Yep.
And from what I've done my research, guys, is you're looking more like, I say a good round number would be about 3 months. 2 to 3 months should be your goals. And then obviously work to that goal, achieve it, and then set your new goal. Me personally, my goal was never to be Mr. Olympia. Unfortunately, I do not have the genetics to become Mr. Olympia, but however, my goals is to be able to go out, hunt, fish, hike with my kids, and not be out of breath and left down at the bottom of the mountain. So that's what motivates me to stay in shape, for y'all that saw the videos that I posted of me putting the play carrier back on again and weighting down my pack and getting preparation for New Mexico. That's my goal right now for this year, is to make sure that I can actually get on that mountain, help out Trent and Spencer as best of my ability, because unfortunately Spencer's going to have all the camera gear. So your guy here is going to be the one hiking that elk off the mountain. So got to make sure I'm not leaving these guys, you know, waiting for me or anything like that. So that is why I've been working my tail off, conditioning my legs, especially, and of course my cardiovascular system to get ready for this. But one of the coolest, and I know Spencer said he heard about this long before I ever did, would be using what they call the SMART method. For y'all that don't know, when it comes to setting your goals, the SMART method is breaks down as an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. So when you're giving yourself the breakdown of what you are looking at doing for that 2 to 3 weeks, whether it's losing 10 pounds, whether it's to drop down a pant size, whether it's to compete in a, you know, 5K or a marathon or whatever the case may be, obviously make them realistic. Don't overdo it, especially if it's your first time going. Because guys, if you overdo it, you know, of course you can run to, you know, becoming demotivated, which happens a lot. And I know motivation is a sensitive topic when it comes to fitness. You know, you should be disciplined, but however, when you're first starting out, it does take a lot of self-motivation to get active. Now, Spencer, I know you've actually came from a very unique fitness journey, and just like myself, got into a shape and then had to come out of a shape. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how setting these goals helped you out, man, with your fitness journey a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, I got into a great shape. It was a great big round shape, unfortunately. And I got up to 315 pounds, big fat guy. And it's one of those things where like it kind of sneaks up on you. And I didn't realize that I was getting as big as I was until I saw a picture of myself. And that was a real wake up call for me. So after that, I knew that growing up, I had always enjoyed riding bicycles, BMX, mountain bikes, all kinds of stuff. So I went out that next week and I bought a cheap mountain bike because it's what I could afford. And I started just riding. And I quickly built up, you know, because I had the experience of riding bikes a lot as a kid, I quickly built up to 10, 15 miles a day, which sounds like a lot, but on a bicycle, you can cover that fairly easily. Especially where I was living was fairly flat. So it's not like I had a lot of mountains or uphill or downhill or anything like that. And then within about a month, I had built up to a pretty consistent average of 30 miles a day. And within
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And within 4 months, I had dropped 90 pounds. And ended up continuing to lose a little bit of weight until I got back down to around 210, which is at the time was a good weight for me. I was still kind of a skinny little kid as far as not having a bunch of muscle. And then started, you know, once I got back down to 210, I started building muscle from there. And now I probably hover around 250, 260. But I have a lot more muscle mass now than I did before. And,
oh yeah.
And, yeah, I just try to maintain a generally healthy shape, but yeah, much like you, I just want to be able to move and get out and do things that I enjoy. And also for me, you know, since I do manual labor for a living, be able to do that consistently, especially right now for long hours in the heat without, you know, killing myself. And killing my body. Yep. So that's what I train for. And I go out and I lift weights and I sit in the sauna and I do cold plunges and try to do functional movements and stretching. Man, so far so good.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had an injury in several years.
Dude, that's honestly one of my biggest fears is when I'm in the gym. And even though I would love to lift heavy and go heavy, and I've gone pretty heavy for my body size, but I always had a spotter.
Yeah.
Because just the fear of an injury terrifies me, because I've seen it happen numerous times in the military where someone was lifting a weight that they shouldn't be. And instead of just accepting their fate that, hey, you've hit the peak, go back down, keep working. They pushed even harder and they blew a shoulder out and I watched it. It was the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fitting that you're talking about, you know, with the heat, you know, that we're doing this episode after our Into the Fire episode, you know, which just dropped, is fitness and having some form of conditioning does help drastically when even working in extreme heat or extreme cold. Because if you're not used to it, especially your lungs, it's going to really reveal itself, more importantly, during the extreme cold weather, because the air is denser and you're breathing that in. If your lungs aren't ready for it, man, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I know Billy did some nice runs and rucks in the Army in Washington in the icy cold air. y'all see if he's giving a big thumbs down right now. Really hurts lungs. But yeah, no, you know, like Spencer, when I really, because I've kind of, unfortunately, I'm going to be honest here for a second. I've bounced back in shape, out of shape several times in my adult life. Fortunately, Billy was there for one of them, which was while on recruiting duty. You know, I came on recruiting duty in great, phenomenal shape, but because of the work, I turned into a shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got back to the what they call the fleet, you know, active Marine Corps service, lost all that weight, got into great shape. Got out of the military, and then unfortunately, like every veteran who gets out, the first thing they do is turn into a shape. So I've gone back and forth, but for this one and what reason why I've been doing a lot better, really sticking with it, I've had two big motivators and factors in my life, and that's my two sons, you know, setting that positive example for our kids, because, you know, there's two of us in this group that actually do have children, and Spencer has his son, which is a beautiful puppy, but you know,
I got a crackhead.
Oh, dude, your dog is awesome, bro.
Yeah, he's fun.
But yeah, he is full of energy.
What's his name?
Cooper.
How much does he charge?
Too much. He is overqualified.
Yeah, what's his contact info? You got a dime bag?
We got to get your dog on the podcast.
Yeah, right. I'll send you his TikTok. Nah, he doesn't really have a TikTok, by the way.
That's funny, dude. I actually got several friends that actually have Instagram pages for their dogs.
Yeah.
And their dogs get more followers than they do. That's the funny part. Everyone loves dogs. Mm-hmm. Dogs are the best. But, you know, back on topic, in setting the goals that I set for when I first got into it was I needed a change, you know. And I was, you know, the time of my life, we're not going to get into that, but the time of life that I was in, it was like fitness became almost like my medicine. It became my way out, you know, and just making the progress and sticking to it. It changed my mentality in a lot of ways into a more positive outlook. And so that was a big thing for me. But no, now I've just been going at it, but it's keeping those realistic goals like the New Mexico elk hunt that we're going on in December. And then Billy's going to laugh at this one is my 33-year-old behind wants to actually jump on the back of a 1,200-pound bucking bull and scratch that off my bucket list. So I've been doing a lot of conditioning for my core, my lower back, because that's predominantly where you need to be strong when on the back of one of those big angry bovine. And Billy could tell you because he's probably done it once as a you know, young East Texas punk on his farm.
Maybe once or twice. I'll never tell.
Cow tipping turned into bull riding.
Yes, sir.
But no, that's actually something we're going to be doing. And Spencer's going to record it. So when I eat mud, he's going to catch it all on film. And we're going to make sure y'all see it because it's going to be hilarious. But, you know, going in from, you know, setting those goals, because guys, that's something that we can talk about all day. Just sit down, be honest with yourself, write them out. I know Spencer would even agree with me on this. Write them out. It makes them more real because then you can physically see them.
Mm-hmm.
It stimulates more than just one of your senses, which helps with memory and everything like that. But getting into the hardest part that I personally feel is the self-accountability and obviously finding that support group. For me, these two guys here that have been joining me on Get Out have been a huge support for me, also hold me accountable. I know Billy never skips a beat to be like, hey, man, you're looking a little round here lately. Right? You know, so you got to have that. You got to have that accountability. But honestly, yeah, you can have the good circle that that keeps you all pepped up. But I think the biggest accountability is your self accountability.
It's called discipline.
Not motivation.
Yep.
Motivation gets you into it. Discipline keeps you into it.
There you go.
Hot tip.
Is that your rattlesnake
sound? So as far as keeping... Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No.
That's what it sounded like.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Can you do it again? Oh, yeah. That one sounded different.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah. But as far as holding yourself accountable, I know for me, it's constantly telling myself in the mirror when my alarm goes off at 4:30, it's like, hey, get up. You got a job to get done. And that's one way I look at it. And then two, for external accountability, both my boys will call me out if I skip the gym. They're like, Dad, you're going to the gym, right? I'm like, oh, got me. Busted. Yeah, I'm going to the gym.
Do you take them with you?
So as of right now, you can take your kids with you to the gym if they're older than the age of 13, which Nathaniel will be here soon, but it has to be before 5:30 because after that they don't have staff at the gym. So unfortunately, I don't work until 5:30, so I'm not able to take them. But however, I do have a pull-up and dip tree in my house, and I have been teaching my kids calisthenics, and that's what they've been doing. Funny little story on the topic of fitness. Both y'all remember this. Y'all remember Nathaniel doing his 12,000 leg raises for that video game for Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That boy literally, I kid you not, man, every day he's like, he would run to that tree, get on that bar, and do his knee raises, and he would do 500 every day.
That gum.
That little, I wish I had half that kid's energy, man. That little kid, that kid's insane. And Calvin, man, Calvin's an ox. He's almost as tall as me now.
Yeah.
And he is getting strong.
We're old and like fat. What do you expect?
Dude, I know. Dude, he started grappling me now. And I still win, but I'm not going to lie. I kind of walk away like out of breath a little bit. Like, dang, he's getting stronger.
You got to work for it now.
Yeah, I got to. That's why I got to work out, man. I don't need my kids beating up on me. Go. I got two of them.
I know what I'm doing when I come down now. Hey, come here, boys.
Hey.
$100 a piece. Hey. Go kick your dad's butt.
Yeah, they probably do. They attempted. Nathaniel would try his little heart out. Calvin would be the one I would be focused on. It'd be like Calvin would be like the actual main opponent, and Nathaniel would be like that chihuahua that's nipping at my heels the whole time.
Wow.
He'd be grabbing my leg and like pulling me out. Like, come on.
I'm gonna give him an extra $50 to actually bite your ankle.
That'd be funny. But no, going into when you start making the true changes, the lifestyle changes, the factory in, as Spencer was saying, the dieting, the getting a bike, biking, doing something to change your daily routine. I know, Billy, you count your steps. I know, Spencer, do you still count your steps or no?
My watch does, but I don't keep track of them.
Yeah, I'm gotcha. Kind of like Spencer here. I don't actually count my steps. Unless I go hiking, then I count keep a mile tracker going. Either on Onyx or the Samsung.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the mile tracker.
But I don't really, steps are just, they don't amount to nothing.
I average 14,000 steps a day.
Yep.
So I can't tell you how many I average, because at work I usually take my phone out of my pocket and throw it on the counter, so it's never accurate. That's why I never really keep track of it.
Yeah.
Well, you remember when the Fitbit came out? That was a huge thing, just putting that Fitbit on to try to monitor that. Mm-hmm. And even some people say, like, because you get a lot of guys, if you watch and follow a lot of social media and, social media influencers when it comes to fitness, one of the common things I've heard them talk about is keeping tabs on your steps. Because as long as you're in that 10 to 12,000 step range a day, you're actually burning plenty of calories. You're active enough.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for my line of work, unfortunately, half my day is in a chair. So there'll be times where I'll literally force myself to get up out of my chair, even though I'm supposed to be doing some form of inputting something in the system, just to walk in the back of the shop and come back, just so I'm not just being lethargic all day.
Mm-hmm. Get the blood flowing.
Exactly. But no, I know for the majority of my life, I went alcohol free until I hit my 30s. And then I finally decided to partake in the glorious beverages. But
Sorry. Billy and I got big grins on our face right when you said that.
Yeah, because y'all been starting since you were like 12.
Shut up, James.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I dare not speak on the grounds that may incriminate me.
Spencer's currently taking a sip of liquor right now. Love it. Love it.
Hey, but hey, no, it's blended whiskey. Not... All right. So this is my smoothie.
Yep.
Give. Yep. Give. 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 Uppy. Give.
And we're going to get, we're going to do a bit of a disclaimer here. We are not about to say don't, you know, enjoy alcohol. That's not where this is going. But don't just constantly every single day consume excessive amount of alcohol, because even if you are active and in the gym, it will literally prevent you from gaining anything, whether gaining muscle, gaining progress. Alcohol literally stops your body's ability to put on muscle and do what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But no, obviously still be adults, still enjoy your drinks. Just don't consume to the point where you're essentially working out for no reason.
Yeah. Don't crush a 30 rack every single day.
Yep. And then wonder why you're not getting in better shape.
Yeah.
Because if you really want to, you know, get all in the health facts, just look up the nutrition on one beer and let me know how many carbs and sugars it has.
Mm.
All of them.
Yeah. A loaf of bread per beer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, tobacco, guys. Obviously, I know, Billy over here loves his tobacco, but there's a lot of good natural tobacco products out there now. You know, you don't have to get the stuff that's literally laced with all kinds of things that are not meant to be in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can find some real natural stuff and still enjoy your tobacco. So
yeah,
just I use make the better choices on it.
Yeah, I switched to I chewed Copenhagen or I dipped Copenhagen for 15 years probably, and I just quit probably about 4 years ago. Well, I say I quit. I'll still do it during hunting season or if we're out fishing. But most of the time I've switched over to the Grinds coffee pouches because I still like having something in my lip, but that kind of gives me a little shot of caffeine and it doesn't have the tobacco and all the nasty stuff in it. I know a lot of people are switching over to the Zins. I never got on that train, but I know they're everywhere.
Look what Billy's holding up.
Oh, yeah. To. I just saw him put it in.
Yep.
Put in a lip.
What's that one that y'all seen Joe Rogan talk about? It's a
Blue Buffalo.
Black yes, Buffalo. What, that one's an all natural one, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
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 I'm actually going to try that.
Yeah, they have pre-workout that you can put in your lip, little pouches like that. And I had a nootropic one time, you know, the little brain good for you supplements. Yeah, they did nothing, but I still like my coffee pouches.
Dude, I know a lot of guys that have jumped on the Alpha Brain and they swear by it. But unfortunately, I'm broke, so I can't afford the prices of some of these little Alpha Brain supplements they sell.
Yeah.
But I heard they're really good. You know, obviously Lion's Mane and all those different fungi that they put in there to help with, you know, brain connectivity and focus and all that stuff. Heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't personally tried it. I don't know if Billy, have you tried it?
No.
Yeah.
I've tried it. It did nothing for me, but
nothing.
My brain is messed up as it is.
Yeah. We're not talking about the starting alcohol at 12, but we'll leave that out, right? Okay. That's a joke, guys. That is a joke. I'm being facetious. I hope y'all know that. But now, the moving into the functional fitness, Spencer, you actually kind of dropped that earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that, unfortunately, I don't do a whole lot of, and I'm starting to now after, no spoilers, but, you know, our interview with Trent from Suffer to Thrive and obviously talking to you about it with reason why you do it for your job, is I do a lot of isolation workouts,
mm-hmm.
you know, biceps, triceps, chest, back, you know, singling them out, but you actually really do harp on how'd you say it? The combined compounded exercises?
Yeah, compound movements.
Exercises? Yeah.
Yeah. So I do.
So what are like your go-to?
I love, well, I don't love them, but I do a lot of farmer carries. So you just get the heaviest dumbbell, almost the heaviest dumbbell you can grab and just start walking with it. And some people do, you know, both arms. I don't like doing that just because when you only use one arm at a time, you kind of help to use you engage your core muscles more because you're trying to offset that weight. And so for me, it's a bit better of a workout. And a lot of times when I'm carrying something heavy, like a bucket of concrete or water or whatever, I'm only carrying it on one side. So if I do farmer carries and I work out with both arms at the same time, then I'm not working those balance muscles. So I like to do a lot of farmer carries with just one arm at a time. That's probably my go-to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I like to mix up in the middle of doing, you know, bench press or lateral pulls, things like that. I'll actually kind of mix it up with when I'm doing my rest cycle. Like I'll drop down and do some push-ups in between. Mm-hmm. Or I'll actually do like, I'm trying to hit like a 30-minute workout session in, because obviously being a father, being a single father, it's really hard to do the young man workout where you can go to the gym every single day, get an hour and a half, 2 hours in. It's difficult to do that and still get adequate sleep, because obviously if you're working all the time, you're not getting the rest. Mm-hmm. Your body's not going to recover. You're not going to see the results that you want. So I'll try to get as much as I can into a 30-minute to 45-minute workout. And instead of taking actual rest period where you see the guys, like they'll hit a set, they'll sit and they'll wait 30 seconds and they'll hit the set again.
They'll play on their phone.
I typically drop down, do push-ups, do squats, do lunges, do something in between those sets. Like if I'm doing a shoulder press, I'll maybe hop over, grab some lightweight dumbbells, like 15-pound dumbbells, and do some delt flies. And I'll go right back into doing shoulder press, trying to maximize my time while I'm there.
Yeah.
But also, if you have the time to take it easy and get an hour and a half, 2 hour solid workout in, then hey, power to you. Unfortunately, I don't have the time.
Yeah, for sure.
And I need my sleep. As Billy already mentioned, I'm getting old. But so is he. He's about to be the dirty 30.
I still got 2 years.
Jesus, you're young. Never mind then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, well, glad you're calling me old, because it makes a perfect why we're going to transition into the cardio, which by far is my weakness. I'm like Po from Kung Fu Panda, stairs, my enemy. Especially getting into getting ready for New Mexico, I've really been harping more on cardio now. And that's why I've been doing the hikes down Panther Canyon to get my lungs ready for it, because I know I'm going to need it. Mm-hmm. And now Panther Canyon is nowhere near the incline or the distance that we're about to partake in. But to me, it's still something. Something's always better than nothing, people. Don't think if you can't do the full P90X workout, if you work out from home, or if you can't do the full, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger chest day that everyone loves to do on pumping iron. Something's always better than nothing. And I guess that'd probably be my biggest takeaway. If y'all do take away something from this episode, is something is always better than nothing.
100%.
And so for me on cardio, the hiking and the nature trails has been my thing, you know, really getting into, because I enjoy it. Because to me, you won't catch me on a treadmill. I did that on deployment on a ship, which by far, guys, if y'all really want to damage your knees, run on a treadmill on a ship. It's really, really, really not fun.
Yeah, I hate the treadmill.
Yep, I'm not a fan of the treadmill. I do enjoy the elliptical occasionally, but if you find me doing any form of gym equipment for cardio, it's the row machine.
Mm, love the row machine.
I do too. I love the row machine. 10 minutes on the road to me, you feel it. You feel way more, I guess, energized, and you can feel it more in your body than doing it on like the treadmill. Treadmill, do my knees immediately start hurting, and so do my ankles.
Yeah.
It's like automatic. If I'm not on the row machine, I'm on the Stairmaster.
Mm-hmm. I have a row machine in my garage.
Nice. Yeah. And that's another thing too. I know Billy, you enjoy not driving to a gym. You enjoy working out from home. I know my cousin Steven, he's a big workout at home kind of guy, got all the equipment in his garage, row machine. He has one too. And guys, 30 minutes on a row machine, dude, I'm telling you, you feel it. It works your core, it works your arms, it works your back, it works your chest, it works your legs. It works out everything. It is a great, phenomenal workout. And it's low impact on your joints.
Yep.
And that's why I would preach row machine over a treadmill, because it is low impact on your joints. Because I know a lot of people love to run. I'm not going to say don't run. Do what you love. But, man, my knees hurt, and it's all because of all the running we did in the military.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I like cycling, because it's very low impact. But I also like swimming. Yep. Because much like the row machine, you use all different muscles. Whereas, you know, running or even cycling, you're just basically using your legs and some arm muscles and some accessory muscles. But when you're swimming or rowing, man, you're using muscles you didn't even know you had.
No existed. Yeah. Yeah. And you're sore in places you didn't know you could be sore before.
Yeah.
And I know Billy definitely knows this. The only workout, guys, that I've ever gotten to the point of doing what you see David Goggins putting his people through on social media, making them puke. The only workout that's ever gotten me to lose my stomach is one that we did in the pool for the martial arts instructor course for the Marine Corps. Because I have never been in a more of a, it's not a haze fest, but I called it a haze fest. I've never been in such a haze fest in my life than it was in a pool. Because you are just, like you said, you're working on everything at once.
Yeah.
Just treading water for 4 minutes felt like you just ran 5 miles and you didn't even move an inch.
And it only took 4 minutes.
Or what, I don't know, Spencer, when you did laps and stuff in the pool, did you try to do where you try to hold yourself under the water for the first lap, then you come up and you swim back up and continue underwater, or did you keep it all on top?
Oh, sometimes I would mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're using different muscles doing different types of swimming. So yeah, I tried to mix it up all the time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have a pool anywhere near me. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the lakes are pretty dry or non-existent. Yeah. So it's really hard to find a spot right now to swim and get a good swim in that's not going to be crowded with the summer goers, because everyone's enjoying the tubing right now, and I'm not trying to be working out around a bunch of drunk people in inner tubes. Yeah. But I will be one of the drunk people in the inner tubes here soon, right, Spencer?
I don't control you, but we'll be down there in a few weeks.
Yes. It's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to the tube trip. Yeah. We'll definitely try to get a little bit of footage, you know, while we float the river. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So now, the elephant in the room, nutrition. The one nobody likes to get into, but it's the key to all of it.
Yeah, it's literally equally important. I think when it comes down to fitness and what I've been researching, because I've really been doing my best to navigate social media and people to follow, people to take advice from, and people not to take advice from. And a big one that I've been following is RP. He's an actual doctor. And he actually spends time debunking what a lot of people do watch on social media. And that's when I learned real quick that exercise plus nutrition plus recovery is so important. And unfortunately, I have the worst nutritional, man. I do my best to eat clean when I can. But as y'all saw here lately, all I got is like $3 in my wallet, it's probably going to go grab a hot and spicy McChicken off the value menu just to get some food in me.
Yeah.
Because not eating is just as bad as eating junk.
Yeah, it's hard to eat healthy because all the delicious food is not healthy. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a lot of your healthy food is delicious if you have the ability to prep it, cook it, and, you know, do the meal prep thing. But unfortunately, that's where I do lack discipline in, and I'm man enough to admit my shortcomings. But yeah, meal prepping, dude, the last thing I'm going to do on a Sunday night is try to cook an entire meal for the entire week, because I'm that guy that wakes up in the morning late and I'll run right out the door to go to work. And guess what I left in the fridge?
Yeah.
So here I am again, getting the, you know, hot and spicy McChicken or the Taco Hell for lunch.
Yeah.
Because I left my lunch in the fridge.
But when you get home, you have a healthy meal.
I do.
You don't have to cook it. You just heat it up.
Yep. But no, like tonight, speaking of that, I sent y'all the pictures before we hopped on this episode. The boys are currently prepping some venison tenderloins and some white rice. So that's what I'm going to be looking forward to when we, after we get off the air, is to put some of that in my belly.
Oh, so that's what's burning.
Yes. And the fact that you can smell it from PA, that's impressive.
Yeah, we made a big pot of pho today, and I got out some of our redfish that we caught with David, and we're going to be cooking that up tomorrow.
Okay, because I literally watched Billy's face go from that dog going, rrr, when he said pho. Can you explain what pho is there, Spencer?
It's a Vietnamese broth.
It's so delicious.
It really is. Like, yeah.
It's amazing.
Is it soup? Is it just broth? It's kind of a mix between the two. And we always put some, you know, onions and, you know, a couple of other vegetables my wife puts in there. And then you make some real thin rice noodles. You just cook them super, super fast. And then you throw them in there. You mix it all up. You can throw beef. You can throw chicken, whatever kind of protein you want in there. It is so good.
Okay. Help you out there, Billy, because your face literally looks like you have no idea what we're talking about. Just imagine the best ramen noodles on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's to describe it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, so the first time I had pho was actually in Vietnam. And I've only had one place that I've tried, and Spencer probably knows this place. It's in, is it technically Leander? 1431 in the toll road. Is that Leander still or Cedar Park?
That's Leander.
So there was one in Leander that a buddy of mine from Ericsson, the tower company that I used to be in, he took me there, and that was the closest thing to what I had in Vietnam.
The one right by the HEB there?
Yep.
That was pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah, Billy, you got to try it. It's extremely delicious. And if you actually look at it, it's extremely high in protein.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very good. Very, very good. Now, Billy over here has a metabolism of a 15-year-old and could eat Little Debbie's all day and still not gain a pound. Son of a gun.
Just wait. Just wait, buddy. Hey, look, it's coming for you.
All right. Listen. All right. Okay. All right. Alive. Okay. Somebody's all right. Look, me. Duck season, I eat Little Debbie's like they're going out of style. Okay. But it's cold.
It's duck season.
My body burns everything off. I sweat like I'll get out because I have expensive duck hunting gear that is nice and toasty. And you get a workout because I kayak duck hunt, so I paddle all over the place.
Yeah, so, no shame there.
Nah, that's why I eat my Little Debbie's.
I eat Little Debbie's when I'm hunting, but I sit in a blind. I have no excuse.
Yep.
Fudge rounds, to be exact.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, if I'm going for the fattest of the fattest, I'm going all in, and that's the fudge round.
There you go. I like my Nutty Buddies.
Ooh.
Chocolate, peanut butter, wafer. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, Nutty Buddies, zebra cakes, the Christmas cakes that you like to go find for us every hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
Oatmeal cream pie. Oh my god, dude, all of them.
Mint Oreos sometimes.
Yes, dude.
Let me guess. You like
those
Girl Scout
cookies? Those are good.
Too.
Every now and then.
And you don't?
I've kind of grown out of them.
Not really, no. I don't understand the hype over them. They're not all that great.
Oh, I don't mind them. I just think it's hilarious how the Girl Scouts have literally taken over America by storm with those cookies.
Well, I don't even
think
they
sell the megatons of them, dude.
Well, bro, I don't even think
Boy Scouts gets.
I don't even think it's Boy Scout Girl Scouts anymore. I think it's just Scouts.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. I think it's funny because almost every grocery store in America carries the Keebler knockoffs, which aren't as good, but they're still pretty good.
But yeah, guys, nutrition, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, we're good at it.
Little Debbie's are great.
No, but to kind of give the listener a hot tip, and this is what I found directly from the National Academy of Medicine, is when it comes to protein, because protein, carbs, fiber, all that, all important, but specifically on protein, if you're a guy looking to build muscle, the quick math is essentially the average of, if you're about a 150-pound dude, you need to be eating about 54 grams of protein. So the actual math is taking your weight, divide it by, or multiply your weight by 0.8, And that essentially tells you how many grams of protein you should be consuming at your current body size. So go get a scale, do a little bit of math. They'll tell you ballpark figure what you need to be eating. But also, guys, you actually have to be active. Don't eat all that protein if you're not actually being active.
Steak, potato, Schinerbach equals all protein needed.
And carbs.
Yes.
Yes. All right, now down to that third part of the trinity there, and that's the rest and recovery, which we're all laughing earlier with Spencer over here. He's a workaholic, so we're teasing him about the rest and recovery aspect. But even me, I had to quit going to the gym at night because sometimes that pre-workout, even though I would get an hour and a half and to an hour and 45-minute night workout when my kids were asleep, man, that it still didn't wear off that caffeine. So I could easily be up to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, wake up at 5 o'clock and my alarm goes off to go to work and I am just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So rest and recovery is a interesting one, but unfortunately going to the night workout for a 33-year-old, you don't have the energy as like the 28-year-old over here, Billy. So you need a little extra boost sometimes.
Yeah. I'm going to have to contradict you there because I hate working out in the morning. I refuse to do it, but I'm a afternoon/night workout guy for sure, 100%.
Oh, yeah. Well, I am too. Like, I would honestly, first in the morning, I was actually talking to a guy at work. He's another guy that's really big into fitness, older guy too, and he looks great. And talking to him, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, dude, I have to go at night. He's like, in the morning, you're just not, your body hasn't woken up yet. You haven't gotten the food in you. You haven't gotten the water in you, all that stuff. So you're going to feel weak.
Food and water. You mean coffee? Weak.
What's that?
Food. You said food.
Oh, in the morning, I don't take anything. Well, yeah, throughout the day though, if you go in the evening, you've got all your food intake, all your water intake for the day. So when you go and do a workout in the evening, you get a higher quality of workout because you're hydrated and you're energized. When you wake up first thing in the morning, you're coming out of a fast. And so your body is trying to make do with what it's already processed while you were asleep as energy to get a workout in. So what I do in the morning is I will take my pre-workout, but also take a full scoop of protein before the workout. That way I got something in there for my body to use to give me that little bit of a boost while I'm there. But I'm doing that because I find myself staying up too late at night. So I'm not getting enough sleep. So I'm actually, even though I worked out all night, it's not really helping me because I'm not getting enough sleep.
I got you.
I'm just here.
Well,
Billy does pull-ups on pine trees.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I think now is a good time to point out that everyone's going to be a little bit different depending on your body type, your activity level, your fitness level, your schedule, your diet, and just your personal preference. Because you were mentioning, going and working out at the end of the day because you've fueled up throughout the day. Well, that's not what I do. And I get that it works for most people. But for me, I do intermittent fasting. And so I go and work all day. And then I go to the gym and stop there on my way home. And I don't eat anything until I get home. So I'll have one energy drink in the morning, which is really just amino acids. And then I will have water throughout the day. And then I can get pretty much 15, 16 hours out of that. And then when I get home, I have about a 2-hour window where I'll eat. I try to eat healthy, but I generally kind of eat whatever I want. And that's it. And then I'll wake up the next morning and start over. Now I've been we mentioned this in the last episode, but I've been conditioning myself to do this for a long time and it works really well for my body. But people need to just start trying different things. Like if you're doing a diet and an exercise program and you're not seeing results and you're actually sticking to it, maybe try something different.
Yep. Well, there's so many resources out there. And I know we haven't gotten in the topic of that, but you can literally just go and say the gym's not for you, like Billy here. Billy is not a gym goer. Billy does calisthenics. He does everything at his house. his own way.
Yep.
That's a great way of doing it, especially if you are really good at being self-disciplined. Because for me, just the effort to get up, prepare my shake, go to the gym, it's already telling me you're here now. There's no walking away from it. Home workout, I'm the guy's like, oh man, that bed looks really comfy. So me, it's like my way of force myself. Billy, on the other hand, nah, he can sit there and get himself a good, you know, hour and a half workout. I'm going to see him do it, and he's fine. He just already made up his mind. He's like, hey, I'm going to step out and go to the garage. I'm going to get my workout in. But yeah, Spencer, you're absolutely correct. There's so much you can do, and that's what we were talking about earlier. As long as you're doing something, guys, you're on the right path.
Yeah.
I know in the spirit of the outdoors, like we talked about hiking. Hiking is a phenomenal way to stay in shape, lose weight. And if you don't like the gym, because obviously some people, you know, insecurities or they're just not a big fan of people, which I get it, respect, all the respect to, you know, that.
That's me. I don't like people.
Yep. That's why I don't go to the gym. I don't like people.
But hiking is a phenomenal thing. Biking, as Spencer mentioned, biking's another great way.
Yeah.
And you don't have to buy an expensive bike, which I have a couple of friends, which actually I might try to talk to Mr. Armstrong to get him on, because he's actually a professional sponsored mountain bike racer. Mm-hmm. Dude loves bikes. But him and a buddy of mine, Steve-O from high school, they bike all the time. And that's one way that Steve-O does his cardio is on a bicycle. So you don't find, you know, he goes to the gym and does his strength training, but you don't see him doing cardio and everything like that at the gym. Gets on his bike and takes off. They spent a lot of money on their bikes. Me, we got the good old Schwinn's in the garage. You know, like Spencer was saying, you can buy an inexpensive Mongoose from Academy or whatever sporting goods you have in your area and just get on it and just go biking, guys. It's a lot of fun. You can do it at all times of the day. Just make sure if you're doing it in dawn or dusk, wear your reflective gear. Don't become a statistic. Because some people will not see you if you're out there, even when you're on a bike. So just make sure you're wearing your protective equipment when you're out there. But there's a lot of different things you can do, guys, for fitness and for weight loss and strength training. As long as you're pushing, you're pulling, or you're moving, putting one step in front of the other, you're working out. You're burning calories. Just find your niche and go for it. Figure out what motivates you. Figure out what you like to do. And mix it in with a daily routine. Get yourself a routine. And go for it, guys. But like I said, don't become stagnant. Which I tell a lot of people, because that's what happened to me the last time, is I became stagnant and fell off. You got to mix it up. Like Spencer says, change it up. If it ain't working for you, if you're hitting what we like to call a plateau, or even if it's not a physical plateau, but a mental plateau, mix it up. If the gym, just all of a sudden you lose interest, that's fine. Get a bike, go hike, do something different. But constantly move is all I'm saying.
Yeah. People who are generally fit don't typically do the same thing over and over and over again. They mix it up.
Yep.
One, because we're going to be working different muscles. Two, it just gets boring after a while.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not boring, but monotonous. So mix it up. Well,
and that's what I found myself into before last hunting season. And I actually called my cousin, who's one of my big mentors for fitness, and my old gunnery sergeant, who's now a first sergeant, kicking ass and taking names still in the Marine Corps. Huge fitness guys. And I even asked them, like, hey, you know, I feel like I've hit a plateau. I feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over again, and I'm not seeing anything. I feel like I'm just going through the motions. And they literally told me, they're like, take 2 weeks off. They're just like, quit going for 2 weeks and then go back into it. Just your body's already adapted to what you're doing. And since you're not changing it, you're not mixing up, your body's just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. It learns just like you do. So they're like, hey, quit going, man. Hit again in a week, you know. Or he's like, do more cardio. So kind of back off the strength training, do more of the cardio. Or back off the cardio, do more strength training. Just do something different, trick your body so your body starts responding to the workouts.
And when in doubt, if you don't feel like working out, stretch. I'm a huge advocate of stretching.
And I am not. I am not flexible at all.
Yeah. Yeah, mobility is good for literally everything in life. even just getting up off the couch, which for some people is the hardest part. And stretching, you don't have to get your heart rate up, and you don't have to go to the gym and buy a bunch of equipment. You can literally just do it in your living room or wherever you're standing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the 33-year-old guy that still to this day has not been able to actually correctly touch his toes. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Is it because your belly's too big that you can't touch your toes?
Ooh. Yep.
Shots fired.
See. It's okay. It's okay, buddy.
Hey, I'm still enjoying this while I can.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I got you.
You'll be eating those words in a couple of years.
I know. Along but with I'm your still little Debbie's. You leave my little Debbie's alone there, buddy.
Dude, it's funny that you mentioned that when it comes to the whole dad bod thing, because yeah, I do got the dad bod, but the one thing I've been successful at doing, luckily because my genetics, my chest, my pecs respond very well to workouts, and I've been able to keep my chest further than my gut, so I still look good and close. If I didn't produce the chest, yeah, that'd be kind of suck, because then you would see my belly. But no, I got the dad bod. Obviously, I think about 25 years old is when my metabolism, I saw it drop, because man, from 15 to 24, 25, I did not gain any weight. I was 166 to 164 to 166, no matter what. And I remember being that little cocky young Marine that would walk in the mass sergeant and be like, what are you going to weigh today, Kincaid? And I'm like, 164 pounds, get on it, 165. He's just like, how'd you know? And I was like, because I'm not getting any weight. And all of a sudden, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds. I was like, oh, crap, I'm gaining weight. Mm-hmm. The heaviest I got, and Billy saw it, the heaviest I got, and I'm only 5'9". I know 5'9", close to 5'10", but Marine Corps always goes for the lowest number, so I owned it. I'm 5'9". And Billy, I think I got up to 225.
Yep.
Yep. And that was at 25 years old, man. I got a picture of it, dude. It was embarrassing how big I got on recruiting duty. But it was because I was constantly driving, constantly in the office, constantly eating fast food.
And I was forcing you to drink Red Line.
I think I forced you to drink that.
I think we went out on it. I think we were like, okay, let's do this together. If we both die, we both die. If we live, we live.
Dude, people love these stories, so I'll go ahead and say it. So where the story that Billy's talking about is on recruiting duty, no matter what branch you were in, there was a rule that if you were taking a female applicant, you were a male, you had to have a 2-male to 2-female ratio. It's just for protection and honesty amongst everybody involved. So I had a young lady, I'm not going to mention her name, that did not pass the ASVAB down in Houston. So I literally got called at what, Billy, like two minutes before we were supposed to go home for the day.
Yeah, dude, we had just finished up with our freaking PT session.
Yep.
Like, I think
I get a phone.
Yeah, we did what?
Yeah.
A 3-mile run and then pull ups. And I think we did basically a mock freaking PT test.
Yeah, it was when OJ did the physical fitness test.
Yeah.
And we got the phone call that this young lady failed the ASVAB because they take the ASVAB test the night before they do the physical. And they were like, come get her. And if y'all don't know, if y'all look at a map from downtown Houston, Texas to Lufkin, Texas is legitimately 2.5 hours without traffic. And so I looked at Billy and I was just like, bro, can you roll with? And he's like, I got you, Sergeant. And we went and bought Red Lines from this little Circle K, the tall Red Lines. And him and I chugged those. And bro, we could not sit still that whole 5-hour roundabout trip.
Bro, that was a ride. That was a good road trip.
Yeah, because up to that point, you didn't really take any form of like caffeine supplements, like energy drinks and things like that. That was your first time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One of your first times? I don't know it was your first, but probably one of the first ones.
The only other time that I had any type of energy drink before that was right before a baseball game. And that was I played a hell of a game that day, let me tell you that much.
Yep. And actually, you know what? It's funny you bring that up, and that's one thing we didn't talk about, and I think we should hit on it real quick, you know, because we're already getting close to that hour mark, is recreational sports. Because you know, here in New Braunfels with Land of Park, that's right here. That's where Panther Canyon's at, to the backside of the trail where the mouth of the actual Comal River comes out of the rock. And they got volleyball courts up and stuff. Dude, I see people there, like, you know, playing volleyball, playing basketball all the time. So, you know, for everyone else that likes to do, you know, social activities, you know, sports are a great way to get in. And I know there's still a lot of leagues everywhere for even for adults to get in and play. So y'all can check in with your YMCAs and your local gyms to see if they're looking out for people who, you know, play adult softball, t-ball, basketball, football. Because I know a lot of guys still play flag football and even full on tackle, you know, and they're the 30s.
Yeah, I'm the same volleyball guy.
Ooh, beach volleyball?
Yeah, 100%. But
I like to play said volleyball game.
Do what?
I like to be a bench warmer during the beach ball volleyball game.
There you go.
Dude, I used to tell everybody for the longest time, this is definitely going to take jabs at good old Aggie boy. What's his name? Guys, help me out. They thought he was the chosen one. Then he made it to the NFL and he boogered it all up.
Johnny Manziel. Yeah.
Johnny Manziel. So my running joke for the longest time was, I'm going to call Cleveland. Like, look, man, you could pay me $250,000 a year and you'll keep the same current record. It's like, look, it's a win-win situation here.
Yeah. I think it would have to be 300,000. I think that was a league minimum.
Hey, pay me 300K. Yeah. I know they were paying him a couple million. Yeah. So I'll sit there and get sacked and everything for 300K for a season.
There you go.
Let's go.
And get really good medical care for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And they keep their same record, but they save the money.
Yep.
No, don't do that, people. Because obviously, I'm the thought of getting just ran over by 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 260-pound just animals, I can probably only take it a couple times where I'm like, all right, man, I'm good. I quit.
Yeah. For sure.
But no, I guess, guys, to kind of close this thing off and wrap this up in a nice pretty bow, because we've been at this one for a while now and we're all looking forward to getting it out there to you guys, is real quick, I know this is a sensitive topic for some people, but I think it's really important to go over just for real fast, is the mental health benefits, especially for a guy. And the reason why I say that is because they have proven that there is a direct correlation between men's mental health and men's actual physical health. They're showing that the better shape you are in, the better mental state you are in. You're more focused, you're more positive, you're happy. There's just a proven scientist benefit between the two. So not going to go too deep into the mental health portion of it, because that is a long, long, long conversation that people get into. But guys, it helps. Just believe it. If you're in a position where you're not happy with your body, or you're not happy with your current situation, and fitness is actually not a part of your normal daily routine, give it a shot. I promise you, give it a shot and you will see improvement. Now, unfortunately, I know there's some things out there that will not prevent that, but for most men in most cases, and even women, I'm not trying to exclude them at all, but I don't know, I'm not a woman, so I can't really speak on their behalf. But however, if it's not a part of your routine to get out there and exercise, give it a shot. It does help.
It's a great way to get out some aggression. From what I hear, I'm not an aggressive person.
Oh, never. I'm 100% are. I'll say, dude, it helps. And for me, it's just like when we talked about with the, when we got into A shape, when you're into A shape, I don't, you know, as a man, you don't feel very alpha.
No.
So when you start trimming that fat off and you start looking better and feeling better, you start, your mental wise for me, it was like, all right, you know, I actually did look good. And then when people notice it, like, dang, dude, nice arms. Hey, you look great. It's like, thanks, man. You know, it's a huge uplift, especially when people start to notice, for sure. Unlike Billy over here, who just calls me fat every time he sees me. You know, you hurt my feelings, right?
I don't care.
I don't care. I'll still eat a little Debbie right below. Got tongue twisted there. A little Debbie right in front of you. And still go work out.
There you go. So what else
I'm out of fudge rounds. Never mind. I was going to grab one and be like, hey, James, watch this.
Oh, dude, when you first said fudge round, my mind went that way. But hey, Spencer, any closing remarks, man? Any last minute takes you think we should share with the audience?
My hot tip is not really a hot tip. It's just basic tip. If you need somewhere to start, just get up and move. That's it. Just start somewhere. Just get up and walk a lap around the room. Walk 10 laps. Tomorrow, walk 20 laps. You know? And you're not always going to progress. It's going to be in ups and downs. It's going to be a journey. But just start. You don't have to start big. Just start.
Yep. Billy?
Calisthenics. Another kind of caveat off Spencer. Calisthenics. If you don't want to walk around the room, roll off the couch, knock out 50 push-ups, do some crunches. It's easy.
50 is a bit optimistic if someone's rolling off the couch.
I work in the outdoor industry. James posted the short reel on our story on Instagram. I'm able to take my freaking one of my hunting pack bags, take a 25 or 50 pound sack of seed that we got for sale at the store. I throw it in the pack. I'll rock around the store. I mean,
yep.
There's always something to do. It's there in front of you, whether you know it or not. And it's simple stuff.
Yep.
Easy stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, like Spencer was saying with like, you know, flexibility and mobility, I've seen people actually just take a break, get up from their computer and start doing stretches right there on the drive.
Yeah, buddy.
Or in the shop. They'll just a, you know, stretch out. Not this guy, you know, I just give him a walk, but because, you know, I'm too afraid if I bend down too far, I'm not going to get back up.
That really means you should start stretching. That's like the sign.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, we all have our faults and our failures. Yeah, I'll roll mobility
you,
is mine.
Hey, I'll roll you around, Tubby. It's okay.
Oh, oh, we're going to have to edit that one out. But Spencer, Billy brought up a point that the last time we attempted this, you had mentioned, and you haven't this time, so I'm going to get you to talk about it. Talk about your water bucket.
Oh, yeah. I actually used it last night and today. So easy way to start. Literally go buy a 5-gallon bucket from anywhere that sells them. They're all over the place. Fill it up with a whatever amount of water that you want to lift and just start lifting. You can do curls, you can do shoulder raises, you can do front raises, lateral. I mean, you could just literally do anything. You can fill it all the way up and just carry it and do my farmer carries. And it's like the cheapest possible thing other than just body weight exercises. If you're looking to lift weights, go get you a couple of buckets of water, fill them up. If they're too heavy, pour some water out. If they're too light, add some water. Start there. And the thing I like about them is, you know, you go into the gym, you see people like throwing the weights around. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that.
Nope.
It's a good way to get hurt. But the water, because it splashes around, don't put a lid on it. It forces you to go nice and slow and controlled motion. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the water buckets. Billy, should I call on you? I see your hand is raised.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he's so young over here.
Yes.
It's like, Mr. Teacher,
he's,
call me in.
He's
go,
no.
Go, go.
Time under tension. That's what helps.
Yep.
Rapid, crazy, fast movements do nothing. Time under tension.
Yeah. 50 reps don't really count if you're doing them at a lightning pace.
No.
Yep. Which we'll definitely get into deep with that with Trent on episode 2. He dives deep into the time under tension and the more specifics of weight training. But
for sure,
for a 101, guys, I think we kind of nail this one on the head finally.
There you go.
Yep. So guys,
15th time is the charm.
Right. This is like the fifth time we've attempted this.
A little Top Gun movement here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but I'm going to go ahead and wrap us out, guys. You know, I do appreciate y'all both from coming. Obviously, you know, we work hard at putting this content out. And for the viewers, guys, if you like what you're hearing, you know, please, we would like to know about it. Spencer and I have been talking about this. We would like to hear more feedback, good, bad, and different. We want to hear it all because obviously we want to grow. We want to make sure we get some content out for you guys that you might be looking for or maybe want us to elaborate more on. So please go on to our social media pages, send us some comments, send us some comments on our post. More than happy to go through them, more than happy to take in your thoughts into consideration. But for the rest of those guys, Billy, they want to hear more. What should they do?
Well, if you want to hear about more fitness and more activities and all that good stuff, you should tune in to Get Out.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Yes, sir.
See you, bro.